Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's hard to believe, but football is almost back. The NFL preseason kicks off with the Hall of Fame game on August 1st, and soon we'll have regular season NFL and college football. That means it's time to make an account at the best online sports book known to man. That's right, I'm talking about MyBookie. Sports betting is exploding in popularity. If you want to get in with the action with a trusted company that's been in business for years, MyBookie is the place for you. With an easy, no-hassle mobile site, 24/7 customer service, and bets on every sport and prop imaginable, MyBookie provides a fun and safe betting experience. Maybe you think Drew Brees and the Saints get their revenge for the terrible blown call in last year's NFC Championship. Or maybe you think Tom Brady and the Patriots win an unbelievable 7th Super Bowl. Why not make your prediction come true? And if you deposit today, MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus. That's right. You put in $100, they give you $50. You put in $1,000, they give you $500. It's that easy. Football weekends are back, but they're even more thrilling with every touchdown can win you more money. So go to mybookie.ag and sign with the promo code PANTHER25 today. And MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Hey guys, welcome in. It's another Panther Rants podcast. Vlad is back after a long hiatus. I tried to record a podcast, I think it was like maybe a week and a half ago. And it just kept freaking, the app, I don't know what the hell it was, kept screwing up on me. Then, of course, my phone got destroyed. And, yeah, I mean, so now I'm finally back. I got a new phone. It sucks because I just paid off that one. But I did buy a screen protector. I did buy a new screen for the old one. So I'm going to replace it and keep it as a spare. You know, you never know if I have another freaking accident. But, yeah. As far as my bookie goes, for my birthday, they gave me $25 of free play. And, of course, something got screwed up their website. They gave me another $25 of free play. So, from personal experience, it's been pretty good for me. But what's been going on since the last time we talked? Well, when I was trying to do my last podcast, I was trying to talk about Aaron Donald, about how they dedicated the train complex to him. And on top of that, the guy's a 99 overall in Madden. So, good things are happening for Aaron Donald. Let's just hope that there's no bullshit cover jinx or any type of jinx where things are just so, going so good for him that he doesn't, bust an Achilles, bending over, picking up a piece of paper or something like that. Let's hope good things for Aaron Donald. So, last I left off, we had a whole bunch of patch signals come in. And it was a whole bunch on the 22nd of June. We got Timothy Brown, defensive tackle out of Florida. Jordan Addison, he's a cornerback from Frederick, Maryland. These guys are 3 or 4 stars. Aiden Henningham, another Florida kid. Javonte Roy, another Florida kid. Henningham is a wide receiver. Worrell's a safety. And to top it all off, Pitt gets a commitment from one of the top players in the state of Pennsylvania, Deion Hayes, a defensive tackle out of Westinghouse. Excuse me. Phenomenal. And on top of that, Pitt also got a commit from a 2021 player. I believe he's the kid out of West Mifflin who's having some issues. Let me find them here. Yes, Naki Johnson of West Mifflin. And, of course, he's having some issues right now with eligibility because, you know, with the WPL, when you transfer, it depends on where you transfer. They'll okay it, but for some they won't. And, of course, you end up going to the PIAA to appeal it, and eventually PIAA tells the WPL, you're doing too much. Let the kids play. The hell with it. So, but for Pitt to get a 2020 commit before the 2019 season begins is phenomenal. It speaks a lot of volumes. I don't know what the hell the staff's doing, but the vibe, everything is just good. And it was nice to see with all this momentum that two local kids commit. I mean, of course, none of these players are really signed yet. Anything can happen, especially with Johnson. He has another year. Things can happen. But the fact that some of these players are now buying in already is huge. And I'm not sure what the staff's doing, but I'm gonna flow with it. I just hope it doesn't end up like the 2003 season, where Pitt came in as an AP top 10, I believe. Fitzgerald came back as a Heisman hopeful, fair for the Heisman. Rod Rutherford was set to have a big season, which he did, of course. Everything seemed to click for Pitt. On top of that, that summer they got two commits from Anthony Morelli and Andrew Johnson, local kids, and they were five-star players. And, of course, they got a commit from Johnny Payton, who was in Florida, who was a really good receiver. And on top of that, Pitt also had – they were in the running with a lot of players, a lot of really good ones, I remember. And I remember looking at the visit lists. They were in a mix with so many top players. And – things fell apart. For one thing, Brandon Myrie got hurt. So, of course, we were hurt at running back because we had Jawan Walker and Ray Kirkley in our backfield. And for some reason, neither one of those guys could just do anything. And Walker had a ton of hype, and it just never happened. So, and, of course, the defensive line was a big issue as well. They were getting blown off the ball, and it just fell apart. It all did. I mean, and of course, the Big East obviously started to implode. Well, we don't have to worry about that now because we're in the ACC. So, that conference stuff isn't too much. But, the wheels just fell off, and players decommitted. I mean, Andrew Johnson obviously was supposed to recruit some players to come play for us, and that never happened. And when that didn't happen, he went to Miami. He decommitted all of a sudden. Anthony Morelli, he got pissed off because he wasn't selected to play in some Army All-Star game that Bob Palko, I guess, was coaching, I guess. And so the conspiracy is that Bob Palko, had some issue, did this on purpose. I don't really buy that, and they decommitted. Now, obviously, probably that was the cop-out. He was having second thoughts, obviously. And this was, this was their way out. So it just, Johnny Payton went to South Florida, and he was never really heard from again. I mean, he had a lot of potential, but I think he just couldn't stay out of trouble. And that was the end of him. But yeah, that was pretty much, and then of course, the next season, Pitt did go to the BCS, but the Walt Harris era was pretty much done, and that was that. So let's hope we don't see any repeats. But the 2003 season is the cautionary tale of this, of all this momentum. Now, the Pitt hoops, as you know, I guess Jeff Capel's been getting some crap about his recruiting, I guess, and He lands a transfer from Delaware. Actually, he landed two players. There was KJ Marshall, who was walking on. He's from North Carolina. He's a point guard. Audis Tony's old. I guess he went from Audis Tony's old high school. Then they landed Ethiel Horton, a shooting guard, transferred from Delaware. And I guess Pitt got him over Arkansas and Virginia Tech. Who's coaching Virginia Tech now? I forget now. Well, they have Buzz Williams, but I forget who they have now. But, you know, he'll sit out a year, and I guess he'll play three. But as a freshman, he did really well. He had, you know, Cardiac Hill wrote this up. Credit to Mike Wilson. Thanks, Mike. Great stuff, actually. Check him out. He writes some good stuff. Mike breaks it down. He says, you know, Horton was averaging 13.2 points, 3 rebounds, 1.6 assists per game. He shot 40.9% from 3-point range. So obviously he can nail a 3, which is what Pitt needs. And he could fill the role if Xavier Johnson decides to declare for the draft after this year. So he will sit, you know, he'll sit out this season, and he'll be back after the next year. He'll be playing for Pitt, donning the blue and gold. So, a lot of good things on the horizon. Yeah, a lot of good things. I mean, we had the Aaron Donalds, all that stuff. We have all those commitments. And, of course, we got some more basketball commitments. It's great. Obviously, you know, there's been one negative for athletics. I guess it's the Learfield Cup, I guess. And I guess Pitt finished next to last in that department. And I guess it's the makeup of all the, makeup of all their programs and how they're doing. Pitt's obviously overall not doing good in terms of their athletic programs. I think Pitt will eventually get up there. They will move up. It's just going to take some time to do so. For one thing, men and women's basketball have been down. You know, they've been obviously going through some rebuilding phases. And so eventually they'll be up. But of course, baseball and softball were down this year, and softball took a huge dip. Baseball the year before was in the ACC tournament, and they weren't too bad. They were kind of mediocre. They took a dip as well. So I really wouldn't read into too much of this whole thing. I mean, we don't need to go to the header's office and start bitching because our programs suck. It's just they're all, you know, we've been through a whole bunch of coaching, you know, changes, and things happen. But they'll get better. And eventually we'll move up. So I really wouldn't read into too much of this. It's just, you know, some people like this type of ranking stuff. I mean, because they get the, you know, they have to pull their peckers over it. But nah, I'm not for it. But moving on to some other stuff. I mean, obviously, NBA had its free agency. And it was a crazy, you know, and it's been pretty crazy so far. I mean, you know, Kawhi obviously ends up in the Clippers with Paul George. So Russell Westbrook is pretty much done. I don't think it's, you know, the thing is with Russell Westbrook is, I don't think it's really so much him that the players don't want to play with him. It's just, they don't want to go to Oklahoma City. And excuse me, that was my glass lens popping out. So you got to hear that nice little ding, ding, ding. I mean, obviously if you're a Sonics fan, you're probably snickering like hell at this. Because they had Ibaka, Durant, Westbrook, Harden. And now it's all gone. It's just pretty much Westbrook now. I mean, now they did have Victor Oladipo and ended up getting rid of him because, well, when they traded for Paul George because he just wasn't getting any better under with working with Russell. He went to Indiana, he blossomed. I'm not sure if it's really, you know, can also be Russell as well because he's a ball hog. And what's funny now is the people who defended Russell Westbrook and made excuses for him are now trashing him because he's being traded. But I like the scene with the Rockets because I think he would run a killer ISO. Although you have to split the ball between Harden, Paul, and Westbrook, and that. I don't know if that'll work or not. But, of course, the Warriors got D'Angelo Russell, but they lost, like, Iguodala's gone. Quinn Cook, I believe, is gone. And Boogie went to the Lakers. So, it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be Steph, Clay, Russell, and Draymond. It's really not a bad group. I think Kevin Looney was the big retainment that they need to keep because he played really good down the stretch. I would like to see him keep Quinn Cook, but that didn't happen. I thought he was getting better as the series went against, you know, went along with the Raptors. But there was a lot of movement, and of course the Knicks took a lot of heat for the Knicks haven't really done bad. They have some good young players. They made some decent moves, but the move that they got criticized the most for was not taking Kevin Durant. Now, here's the thing. You have a guy who's about, you know, 6'5", 6'6", maybe tall. Maybe he is taller. You know, I have to look it up. He's 31 years old, and he just tore apart his Achilles. And here's the thing. He can't play next year. So why give him the money to begin with? Why make that investment? Because he may not be the same player after, you know, when he comes back anyway. So the Knicks, I don't think you can't really bash the Knicks for what they did. I mean, the Nets obviously can afford to be without Durant for a year, but they got Irving and I just don't know if they really... They got rid of D'Angelo Russell for Irving. And I mean, you know, Irving isn't chopped liver. I mean, he's not over the hill or has been. But after what happened with the Celtics, how he acted towards the end, I mean, the guy just had a major meltdown. And you had all this momentum with Russell. I just don't understand why you would, you know... I just think you're pretty much... I don't know. But let's stay tuned and see what happens because I don't want to spend too much time on the NBA free agency. I mean, there's a lot that happened, and next season will be interesting. Of course, NBA free agency is always fun because there's always players moving around, and there's always money flying around. And it's just players and money just flinging around. And it's just fun. I just hope that NHL free agency is this exciting. But we'll see. Now let's go through some other things here. Let's see, July 4th came around. July 2nd was my birthday, and around the time I really, you know, the big controversy over those Betsy Ross stupid shoes came out. I really didn't say much about it because I had said, you know, I'm not going to spent my July 2nd, my birthday, talking about politics and arguing with people over this stuff. First off, those shoes were ugly as hell. Nobody really cared about those shoes until it was brought up. And that's the thing. Nobody knew about this. I mean, I didn't know about these shoes until the article came out. I'm like, oh, yeah, we pulled these shoes because Colin Kaepernick thought they were offensive. And I just said, okay. I looked at the article. I was like, all right, okay, so was anybody really buying these shoes? I mean, did anybody really care about them? I don't think so. But of course, it drove up sales for Nike. The stocks went up. The shoes became very desirable then. And yeah, it was kind of a mere coincidence, don't you think, that these shoes weren't really, none of us knew they existed. And then, of course, it just comes out on social media. Yeah, they pulled them. And, you know, a lot of people are really taking this whole, you know, hating America thing onto the next extreme. In Kaepernick's case, what he was, I guess, trying to convey is that with these shoes, not everybody got their, you know, with the Betsy Ross flag, it's not everybody got their freedom from this war. You know, slaves obviously still were still slaves. Although slavery was one of the talking points in the Declaration of Independence, if I remember. And there was a decision during that Declaration of Independence to end it. They wanted to end slavery. And I believe there was maybe one or two states that they couldn't get to agree with this. And I believe it was South Carolina, I think. Yeah, basically they had to get all the, I believe it was, it was pretty much, they, you know, if they were going to do this whole, you know, Declaration of Independence thing, they all had to be all in on this. And, of course, if you do not, if you outlaw slavery, some states weren't going to be, they weren't going to approve it. I think, I believe it was North Carolina, South Carolina. Oh, okay. It was South Carolina and Georgia. So you lose those two states. I know South Carolina was the big driver behind this. Obviously, if you lose those two states, you know, when you're trying to, you know, be unified in this, it's a shame. I mean, if they would have all been all in and said, hey, you know, and all agreed on this whole, you know, ending slavery, then the whole Betsy Ross thing probably is not so much of an issue as on social media. And I say it because this is where it came up, as it is now. But I think what Kaepernick was trying to convey was, obviously, nobody got their freedom from this. I just think the way it was delivered, the message was horrible. And then, you know, you go on social media and people are, you know, incorporating the Betsy Ross flag with the freaking Holocaust. I don't know, guys. All I know is, personally, as I told a lot of people who were upset over this, for one thing, Nike is veteran owned. Phil Knight was in the military. And obviously, if you're a conservative, as a lot of people, a lot of people have become in the last decade or so, they've now become conservative. And they feel that this will still appease the liberals, what Nike did. Well, of course, Nike has to, you know, please do something to please both sides. They have to balance out because, you know, the left, especially, you know, like the LeBrons and stuff, they buy the shoes. They got to do everything. So they have to do this, but at the same time, Nike donates to the Republican Party more than they do the Democratic Party. So I think with this, people just, you got to pick and choose your battles. And this battle, you know, this is something where you had that where you just, if you see the article, you just either keep scrolling or flip the page and say, whatever, fuck that shoe, who cares? But people got mad about it, and I don't know. I just think people get mad over the, you know, this wasn't really something to even get mad about. Mainly because we didn't know this shoe even existed till this article came out. And so this is where one of those things where you just keep scrolling. And then, of course, we get the women's soccer. And, you know, the ladies had a hell of a run. And, of course, they refused to go to the White House. And, you know, that's just that. I mean, that's... Everybody has their own opinion about visiting the White House and whether or not, you know, if they would do or not. You know, if they didn't want to go, they didn't want to go. And obviously with Megan, you know, she doesn't hate our country. She doesn't hate America. I mean, she just feels things can be better. And, you know, that's true. We all feel the same way. You know, America isn't perfect. And we have a lot of different people. You know, we come from different backgrounds, nationalities, cultures, religions. And that's the thing, is you got to do... trying to get that whole thing united where we're all happy is just the hardest thing to do. And I guess, you know, that's just what we're dealing with right now. We all want to be united together, happy, you know, have the same happiness, have the same stuff, you know, have great jobs, you know, healthcare, college, or just a good, you know, not even college, just have a good job, good trade. We want everything. We all want it. It's hard to get. I mean, all I can do is just, you know, keep hoping and working for a better future. You know, that's all we can do is, you know, as we have kids, just, you know, raise your kids to be better than what you were. I mean, it's crazy because there's some stuff I do with my kids that my parents see that they feel bad about it. Like they're embarrassed because they feel like they were horrible parents growing up. And it's, I say, no, it's not that at all. You guys weren't bad parents at all. I mean, there's just some stuff today, you know, that you can't do that you were able to do back then. I mean, growing up as a kid, there was tons of kegger parties. I mean, I used to, you know, go to the local VFW with my dad, and he'd have his beers and not have my Slim Jims, and then I would drive home in a car in the front seat with no seatbelt on. And, of course, you know, he was a little, you know, not sure how many beers he had, but, you know, he got me home. You know, it just, things are just different now. You know, especially with leaving the kids in the car, I mean, usually for my mom, you know, was I ever left in a hot car? No. I mean, my mom did leave me in a car by myself or my dad. But a lot of times the car was running with the AC on. Now you just can't do that entirely at all. But I had common sense to always keep the doors locked. Now you just can't do that because people will bust you. But enough rambling about all that stuff. You know, hats off to the ladies. And, of course, there's always the equal pay stuff, which is hilarious because people are talking about that. I mean, obviously, it depends what kind of revenue you're pulling in. I mean, the WNBA, I believe, is owned by the NBA. But that's what people say. But the thing is the NBA really doesn't totally own them. If you do your research, which is what I did, NBA sold them off not too long ago. I mean, I think when David Stern was still there. And I guess they're frustrated that they're not getting paid, but of course, WNBA doesn't draw any money. I don't know. Anyways, guys, it's great to be back. I hope you guys had a great 4th. You know, that's the thing about the 4th of July is, you know, it's also a time where you have the day off, you spend it with your family and friends, and then, of course, you barbecue, and you light fireworks. And one thing I enjoyed, you know, it was funny, because every fourth, you know, I had this one friend who, you know, he had two younger brothers, and they had a nice house in West Mifflin, or, you know, it was like one of those areas where all the houses were new. I just remember every 4th of July, they would get fireworks. And I just remember maybe like 15, 20 minutes into them lighting the fireworks, they would fight. The three brothers would fight over who was lighting them next. And then, of course, the parents come out and they're pulling the fireworks. And it would begin before it ended. But, anyways, I got a half hour in. I'll let you guys have the rest of your day. It's great to be back, you guys. Hell to Pit. Hey, guys. I'd like to take a second to introduce our newest friends from SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show. And rate someone on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you're getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot makes great deals. A yellow good deals. A red dot and not so good deals. Use the promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's 2 free beers at the stadium on them. What are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, license event. We have the tickets.